Yeah, so very interestingly, there's been the latest Governance, Public Safety and Justice Survey 2024-2025. It is a survey in terms of which we are told that housebreaking apparently remains the most prevalent crime experienced by South African households. The numbers are astounding. Apparently, it affects around 1.5 million people, or approximately 5.7% of households nationwide. That is a staggering figure. And to interrogate that and other findings, I'm very pleased that on the line this afternoon is Mr. Solly Molai, the Acting Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics. Mr. Molai, thank you for being with me on High FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the listeners.
Mr. Molai, are you able to summarize the key findings of the report, specifically as regards household crime?
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, we released our annual report coming from the survey, the Justice Public Safety and Justice Survey, the Victims of Crime report, where we're zooming into different types of crime that the household they've experienced in the past 12 months. And we are also in the report, we're also talking about the crime, the individual crimes, because you could actually experience a crime while you are outside the household. So at the household level, we are still seeing a housebreaking as the most prevalent household crime, which is sitting around affecting around 1 point almost about 1.1 million household. And if you look at the incidents, because the incident is giving us a more insight, because we realize that this type of crime, households are actually experiencing it more than once. So if you look at the incidents, they are sitting about 1.5 incidents, 1.5 million incidents. When you get to the reporting side, because we went further and wanted to understand whether do you report this or did you report the crime to the police, only 43% of the household indicated that they've reported all the incidents.
Sorry,
What is
what was that figure, Mr. Beloy? What?
43%. So
33.
43, 43.
43%, 43% underreported.
43%, yes, indicated that they went to the police, meaning the about 57% didn't report it.
Didn't report.
So we had the reasons that they gave us, because they gave us the reasons why they didn't report. And the first reason that they mentioned, they said police could not do anything because of lack of proof. The second one, they indicated that police will not do anything about it. And then the third one, which is quite interesting because it gives us a little bit of insight what is happening within the community. They said we have solved it ourselves, which means that communities are starting to come up with ways in which they're dealing with crime within their communities. And if you go through the list, there were about 3% who mentioned that they don't trust the police. So we do have reasons why they are not reporting as much as the most prevalent crime, a household crime, but it's in terms of reporting, there are very few of the households that are going that are actually reporting to the police.
Does that shock you that 57% are not reporting, or is that tracking with historical numbers and in no ways a surprise?
It's similar to the previous numbers because we've been tracking this indicator for the past 5 years and it's been hovering below 50%. Whereas when you look at the other type of crime, for example, murder, we're seeing 100%. And I think if you think about it
Interesting.
logically, yes, if you think about logically, if someone passed away and it's a member of a household, you are most likely to report it to different government institutions, whether it's Home Affairs because you need your death notification, I mean your death certificate, or it will be a hospital, maybe the person was sick. So chances are that we are most likely to report the murder. But then when you get into other crime, for example, your home robbery. Home robbery, remember, is not the same as housebreaking. Home robbery, it means you are in the household when people are entering your house. We are also still sitting around 51% of reporting cases. And home robbery, it's a little bit more traumatic because it's got a contact in it, because a perpetrator will have a contact with you. And what we have seen from the numbers, we are also seeing that the type of weapon that have been used is gun and is knife, which means that if this cases are not reported to the police, the police wouldn't know that you actually experienced a home robbery and a knife was used and also a gun was used. So I will encourage the community members to report these cases, because the police will never know the impact of crime in the household if we don't report them. However, having said that, the status say report, it complement what the police are reporting on, and we're encouraging the those who are in the policy space, those are in the justice space, to use both data sets so that they can have a better holistic picture of crime and the impact of crime at the household level and also at the individual level.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm still kind of reeling from that stat of 57%. It amazes me. But then I'm thinking back to my own personal experience at police stations, and I kind of get why people don't go or don't report it. It's an unpleasant experience. Very often there are queues that are just unacceptably long. When you finally get to the front, there's no pen or there's no paper or there are no people. It's a very difficult. I understand that's not your responsibility. I fully understand that. I'm just trying to understand the reason for the underreporting, and it just makes some kind of sense to me. The other issue that apparently was highlighted in the report was that of consumer fraud. Can you talk to that for us?
Yes, consumer fraud here, or maybe before I get to consumer fraud, I just wanted to say to you that I always tell people that behind statistics, there's individual and there's stories. Mm-hmm. And statistics is actually narrating the life experience of people. So we shouldn't shy away from sharing our stories and also relating our stories, because behind these numbers, there are people. So going back to consumer fraud here, we are talking about if you look at your account and then you see there's a 99 rent that was taken out from your account, those type of scam that most of South Africans are actually experiencing, especially from their own account. And this is one of the examples that I've shared. But we have seen consumer fraud also as one of the, at the individual level, that we are also seeing South Africans are actually experiencing it. And this is being about 470,000 individuals who indicated that they actually have experienced this. Again, in terms of reporting, again, we're seeing low reporting numbers, where we're sitting about 35% of incidents of fraud, consumer fraud was reported to police. And logically, if you think about it, if I'm having a challenge with my account, I'm seeing debit orders that are coming that I'm not familiar with, I'm most likely to go to my bank and have an interaction with them rather than go to the police. So sometimes some of this type of crime, we have a better understanding of why they're lower reporting. But I still think that there's other type of crime, for example, assault. We're only sitting about 54% of the incidents that were reported to the police. And if you zoom into assault, you will see that the type of assault, the people who are actual, the victims are females. And the females, they indicated to us that they know the perpetrator, because the perpetrator is the person that lives in the household. Again, you look at the reporting, you start asking yourself, because if they know the person and the person is in the household, then you overlay with the other indicators that we know in terms of the financial inclusion that are happening within the household. These are some of the challenges that we're seeing when you look at the crime. So it's just not just about the numbers, looking at the numbers, but you also bring all these other indicators, looking at financial inclusion, looking at also the dynamics in terms of power dynamics that are happening within the household, because it's quite clear that female within the household are experiencing assault, and they experience assault from their partners, their family members, and also their friends.
That's a real wake-up call. The other very important issue is that of perception. I mean, perception is reality, isn't it? And your report dealt with that too.
Yes, if you're talking about safety, because safety, especially whether you're working during the day or working during the night in your neighborhood, we've seen that actually there's a slight increase in terms of those who say it's quite safe to walk alone during the night. But that increase is still sitting around 36%. So it's just moved from 34 to 36. So it's still low, below the 40%. So meaning that almost about 60%, they're saying it's not safe to walk alone during the night in my neighborhood. That on its own, remember that is part of the SDG report. So our SDG, it's one of the indicators that as a country, we need to report in terms of the safety issue and the feeling of safety of South Africa in their neighborhood. So it's something that we really need to work around it to say, how do we now increase this perception so that we have more safer environment? If you look at it by provinces, provinces like Limpopo, they're having higher reporting figures in terms of safety compared to your Western Cape, your Gauteng. So your urban areas, metro areas, that's where we are seeing people are saying it's not safe walking alone, especially females are even saying their numbers are going up, especially when you get it by female.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, I would have expected that. I think the report also dealt with the steps that individuals are taking to take care of themselves. What kind of numbers came up in that part of the survey?
Yes, indeed. When we asked them, what measures have you taken to protect yourself against crime? About 43%, they said, yes, I've taken the measures. And then we went further. What type of measures? Some, they, about 30% said, I'm only working during the safe hours. About 28% said, I have now a physical protection measures like your butler doors in my house to make sure that there's no one coming, your electric fence. And some, they even say, I have a private security and armed response that I'm paying, that looking after my house. All this that I've mentioned, except the working during safe hours, it means that you must have some money to build that wall, to build the butler door, to pay that particular armed response. And we know when you look at the income within the household that not all households will have that income. So again, it means that it's certain household with a certain profile that will take those measures. When you look at the opposite, it's about 57% who said, I didn't take any measure. And what is the reason? They said there's nothing that they can do. Mm. Yeah, there's no money. And they think that there's nothing that you can do. And they won't make any difference, even if they invest in those particular measures.
So a final question for you, Mr. Moloi. We've got the numbers. They tell a story. How should government, civil society, and communities use this in order to create safer societies, neighborhoods, particularly for vulnerable populations?
Yes, community must take the report from StatsSA. Report must take the report coming from SAPS, put it back to back, look at the reporting, look at what is coming from the household. When we're having a community engagement where we're discussing whether at the MBISO, we really need to discuss data, because I've always tell people today, even today I was presenting this number, I was saying we should move to a space where we don't use opinion, but we use facts to drive policy change, or we change the program. At the national level, we are engaging SAPS, also making sure that SAPS are aware of the report. We are also going to go to the Portfolio Committee of Justice, also sharing the numbers so that at the policy level and also at the lawmaker, they are also aware of these numbers.
Mr. Solly Maloi, thank you for your time this afternoon. That was the Acting Deputy Director General for Population and Social Services Statistics. Thank you. Thank you for your time.